Well, good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we gather, I invite you to stand for our opening hymn. It's number 166, All Praise to Thee, For Thou, O King Divine. Let's stand as we offer our praise. I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 799, as we read responsively from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Things that we have heard and known, that our forebears have told us. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle.
But they do not heed God's covenant, but refuse to walk according to God's law.
They forgot the deeds of the Lord, the miracles that God had shown them.
The Lord wrought marvels in the sight of their forebears, in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Sodom.
The Lord divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. Cleft rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. Yet
to the Father.
And to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated. And I invite our children to come forward and join Madeline for our children's time.
Coming out of the way. Is this making noise? That's not quite time for that. Just put that aside. Good morning, everybody.
It's nice
to see all of you. Did the rest of you bring your pillow and blanket and towel and washcloth today? You didn't? You didn't get the word? Well, why do you think I might bring mine? Just going to sleep? I am going to sleep here one night this week. I'm going to sleep down in the basement, and I'm going to sleep with some other people who are down there because they need a home this week, because this is Room in the End week. So we will have up to 12 women downstairs spending the night every night, and we're going to give them a towel and a washcloth, a blanket, a pillow, some sheets. There's a mattress down there. And we're going to give them 3 meals a day. And we're going to have clothes down there. So if anybody has any you can bring this week, that'd be great. We're going to give them toiletries. We're going to have a room with sofas and a television, and they can watch movies or they can read. Or I'm going to have jigsaw puzzles down there they can work. So there are all kinds of things going on. It's just going to be like their home for a week. Why do you think they need to be here this week? They do not have a home. Exactly right. They do not have a home. So Room in the End is a homeless shelter that moves from church to church for the whole year, every week of the year, for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, 4th of July. We had them this year on 4th of July ourselves. They'll be in a church. And volunteers from those churches and from other churches that help us, like St. Eugene's Catholic Church and Christ United Methodist Church and St. Paul's United Methodist Church, all help us host the women for a week. And the volunteers will bring in food and clothing, and they'll spend the night, and they'll move the mattresses. They'll do all kinds of things for us for this week. So it takes a whole community of people, doesn't it? I couldn't do it by myself. I couldn't spend every night. I couldn't cook every meal. Couldn't move every mattress all by myself. So it takes a lot of help. And that's why I depend on people in this church. Can you think of any verses in the Bible that might pertain to what we're doing this week with Room in the Inn? Rather than my telling you some, I thought I'd see if you've got any stored away in your little heads and hearts, things about what Jesus tells us to do. No thoughts? Oops. How about love one another? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you didn't have a home, would you want somebody to help you out and take you in? Sure, I would. I would want that very badly. What about, I was hungry and you fed me? Have you heard that one before? Sick, you took care of me. Naked, you clothed me. We're going to give them clothes. We're going to give them food. We're going to have, sometimes I've had to take some of them to the hospital in the night. So they were sick and we took care of them. Are you familiar with the Good Samaritan story?
Yeah.
All right, what happens there? Okay, Barbara. Exactly. Somebody in the street, and what did the other people that came along do? They saw him, they stole his stuff, they beat him, they left him. The other people came along, saw the man lying there, and went to the other side of the road. Then the Good Samaritan came along, and he stopped, and he picked him up, and he took him where he could bind his wounds and be taken care of. So that's kind of what we're doing, taking people from the street and bringing them in. They may not have wounds that we can see, like, you know, scars or scrapes or cuts or bruises, but sometimes people have wounds inside. And they need people to help them heal those wounds. And a lot of these women are like that, vulnerable women. Things have happened to them, and they need help. So when Jesus told us these stories and these things about how to treat other people, did he say, now here's the thing that you have to ask them first. Here are the qualifications they have to meet or we can't help them. Does he say that? We'll only help certain people? No. He says what? We'll help all people. No questions asked. And I'm not going to ask these women tonight what's happened to them. If they want to tell me, fine. But I'm just going to take them in. We all are. And we're going to help them. And we're going to do what they need us to do for this week to make them comfortable. So all of these things, plus a lot of love piled in on top. So that's, you know, it's a week that we're helping somebody else, but can you see how it might help me too? Can you see how it's a good thing for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I am being helped by helping somebody else, because I am doing what Jesus wants me to do, and that's a good thing for me. And it just is an extra bonus that it helps somebody else. But the main thing is I'm doing what he wants me to do. So would you stand up and hold hands, and we'll say a little prayer. And then those that are first grade and below can go over there, and the others will stay in church. So repeat after me. Kind of hold on to my arm. There we go. Dear Lord, help us help others at church, at school, and wherever we may be. Amen. Our bread tent offering this month goes to Nothing But Nets, which helps combat malaria. So I need four little people. You're one. Anybody else? Help.
Hey, can you all help with the bread tin?
Can't do it alone.
Help others.
Can you all help with the bread tin?
While they're getting somebody to help with the bread tin, I have two announcements from the Missions Committee. First, our October bread tin is going to be dedicated to the Native American Cooperative Ministry. This is an organization in eastern North Carolina which serves primarily the Lumbee population in Robeson County and surrounding counties, and provides services like promotion of spiritual formation, revitalization of existing congregations. There are about 12 small churches involved, food distribution ministry, creation, development, and support of emerging rural and urban ministries. So please give generously next month for the Native American Cooperative Ministry. The second thing is that next Sunday is two things. One is that it's World Communion Sunday, and the other is that it's the day we do our crop walk. And that actually works together very nicely because we are in communion with people around the world when we do the crop walk. If you are planning to be a walker, I have the envelopes, and this is really the last time I'll be able to hand those out, so please get an envelope. If you are a walker, and you've either signed up before or you're going to sign up today, I need to know your T-shirt size. We are a T-shirt sponsor, Asbury is, and we get T-shirts. So let me know what your size is. I've gotten most of those. If you're not a walker, remember, this is almost your last time to give to anybody. I know that's a little frightening, but I want to go ahead and tell you that the walkers and the ones that I can mention are myself and Madeline, Claire and Tim, Keith and Sharon, Megan Shook, Jessica Jackson, Corey McVeigh, and there may be others. Jessica is willing to receive your donation. So please let's have a good week next week. And if you're a walker, we need to have your money next week. They don't like to have it come in later. Thank you, everybody.
Also, there's a missions committee meeting tonight as well at 7:15. I want to just say a word of welcome to our visitors in particular. And to also draw our attentions to the announcements that are listed here in our bulletins. One of the big things coming up is in 2 weeks, not next week, but the week after the 12th, we'll be having our annual homecoming service. So that means food, that means music, that means all sorts of fun things. So please remember to come out for that. We'll have a covered dish luncheon afterwards, so the church will be providing the beverages and the bread. And the rest is up to us. So please bring some delectable goodies for us to share then. Are there other announcements? Well, if not, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. O God, fill us with your Spirit and humble our hearts so that we can hear your word. Amen.
Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed, and they have committed, they have committed and done what is lawful and right, they shall save their life because they have considered and turned away from all transgressions that they have committed. They shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from your transgressions. Otherwise, and iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Our gospel lesson comes to us this day from Matthew, the 21st chapter. I'll be reading verses 23 through 32. Hear now the word of our Lord. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" And Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I'll also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And again, and they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. And the father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like riddles. Do y'all like those? One of my fondest memories of Camp Tocoa and church camp and all that was sharing riddles with people. I thought I would try one out on you today. This one is called "The Green Glass Door." Has anyone ever heard this riddle? Okay, Rachel, you, Corey, you don't get to answer, okay? Because that's the way riddles go, right? If you know the answer, you can't then participate. So the green glass door is, imagine one of those sitting up here. And the point of this riddle is to figure out what the rule is as to who gets to go in the green glass door and who doesn't. And you can, you know, mention anything. I'll just to start us off, a tree can go in the green glass door, but a leaf cannot. A dog cannot go in the green glass door, but a puppy can. Go ahead. Anybody name something, and I'll tell you if you could. For instance, Scott, you can go through the green glass door. Rick, you cannot.
Double letters.
It's always one of them somewhere. Double letters. Yep, yep. She got it. Way to go, Lee. Lee, you can go through the green glass door. I like that one because even the advance, you as well, yes. I like the this riddle because the answer is even given away in the name of it, green glass door. You know, the two E's, two S's, two O's. Jesus was also fond of riddles. In our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus' authority was questioned by the chief priests and the elders of the people upon entering the temple. And, you know, in the New Testament, this group of folks gets a bad rap. The scribes, the elders, the chief priests, all of them, they don't get represented in a very positive way. We already know the answer to that riddle, don't we? We know how that story unfolds, and we know that it's probably going to be a little bit of a negative connotation whenever they show up. But let me put this story into a little more context for us this morning. What's just happened in Matthew's gospel, just immediately before this, is what we know of as Palm Sunday. Jesus has just come into Jerusalem via a nice big parade. He has come into the temple earlier, a couple days before our story today, And guess what he did? He moved the sacred piano. He shifted the pulpit, you know, I mean, all this sort of stuff. Turned over tables, caused quite a ruckus. And now he's in the temple teaching. And, okay, maybe it's because I'm clergy that I am a little sensitive to this. But, I mean, did the scribes and or the chief priests and the elders not have a right to ask him by what authority he had just come in and done all these things? I mean, he had moved the sacred piano. He had healed. He had turned the temple into a free medical clinic, healing the blind and the lame, we're told. He comes in with a parade, you know. Then he starts his own children's choir there in the church. By what authority are you doing these things, Jesus? Where did you go to seminary? What about undergrad? Where did you even do that, you know? What are your credentials, Jesus? Where is your authority from? And they think they've got him. But then he turns the tables and asks them a riddler, or becomes a riddler himself and asks them a riddle. And he says, well, I tell you what, you answer my riddle and I'll answer yours. By whose authority did John do the things he did? Oh, well, you know, they see this trap. They have their credentials up on the wall in their offices in the temple, right? They didn't go to some little, you know, school out in the middle of nowhere. They had their credentials. But they could see the trap that Jesus was setting for them, so they're not going to go there at all. And then whenever Jesus explains this to them that, you know, well, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I'm doing these things either. Jesus, although he's one up them, he doesn't just stop. He doesn't back down. He then goes and, did you catch all that? He said that the tax collectors and the prostitutes were going to go to heaven before the professional clergy at the temple would, you know. This is no small little thing that Jesus has said there. Jesus just will not be silenced, and he tells them this parable of the two sons. And this parable is unlike most parables that Jesus teaches us, because in most of the parables, you know, these earthly stories with heavenly meanings, it's a good definition of a parable. This one has no hidden sort of twists or turns or anything. It's just very straightforward, and you already know the answer at the end of it. He says, so which one of the sons did what was right? The one who said he would go work in his father's vineyard and then didn't? Or the one who said he wouldn't go work in his father's vineyard and then did? And they said, well, it was the one who actually went and worked in the father's vineyard, right? And that's when Jesus just zings them there. Jesus tells the clergy and the committee members of the temple that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to heaven before they are, because they know that they're sinners and they've repented, not just with words, but also with actions. Jesus reminds them that all their degrees and pedigrees mean nothing if they don't live out what it is that they're professing to believe. It's so easy to judge the chief priest and the elders of the people in our story, because we know that secret to solving the riddle. We already know how the game's played. We already know how that story ends. And after all, you know, that's one of the things that's nice about riddles, isn't it? Because once you know it, then you can have that smug look on your face and act like you know it all, right? Oh well, you know. We're the smart ones now. But why are we so quick to judge the priest and the elders? We're not so very different than they are we? I mean, what about any time church happens and you're in a meeting and someone says, well, that's not the way we've always done it, right? We've never done it that way before. We get a little bit of chief priests and elders in us too. Jesus' question as to which son did the will of the Father is not the kind of question that we like to answer. You know, when he told the lawyer seeking to justify himself. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells and launches into the parable of the Good Samaritan that Madeline was mentioning earlier. In that one, he tells that, and the guy who binds his wounds and all of that, and he says, well, which one acted like a neighbor? He said, well, the one who befriended him. Go and do likewise, right? This is one of those sorts of questions that Jesus asks. It's not one that requires us just to fill in the circle completely with our number two pencil and move on to the next one. This is an answer that calls us to be transformed and to change our actions and not just our answers. The thing that bothers me about riddles, though, also is that we already know the answer. And once you know that answer, Rachel, Corey, Lee, well, actually, all of us now, right? Once you know the secret to the green glass door, you can't tell it again because you've already gone through that door, right? You already know how it is that this comes about. And so riddles, by their very nature, are meant to be shared, aren't they? Because you have to use it with a new group of folks. You can't just go on the same way as before. You can't be one of those folks trying to figure it out anymore. Now you have to be the one with the smug look on your face, enlightening everyone else and showing them how intelligent you are, right? But the thing is, in changing places and becoming the Riddler, we get to share that experience with a whole other group of people. Riddles, by their very nature, are meant to be shared. Like riddles, the gospel message that the kingdom of heaven is open to everyone, regardless of their pedigree or lack thereof, is meant to be shared with others. And the good news is this: there are no green glass doors to the kingdom of heaven. Rick, you can go in as well as I. We can all go in. There are no green glass doors in God's kingdom. Everyone is welcome. Isn't it time you shared this with someone new? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn is number 468. I invite you to stand as we offer our praise. Dear Jesus, in whose life I see. 468.
Please be seated.
As we move to a time of prayer, I have a few requests to add to our prayer list there. Draw your attention to all of the names and situations there, and also would lift up to you Barbara Wallace's mother, Doris Prentice, who has been on our list for a number of, for several times. She was up in New Jersey, passed away this week from a heart attack, so please keep Barbara and Brian in your prayers. Also, Bill, our hearts go out to you in the death of your sister, Mary Hussey, this past week as well. And Marcia, having surgery this week, we will keep her in our prayers as well, Rick. And I guess that means you have sole duty of the little dog now, huh? We'll keep Rick and Marcia in our prayers as well. And Joan's sister, Loretta, who is still having health problems, please remember her this day. Are there others? Pat Masters. How is her name spelled?
H-O.
Family of Cindy Ho.
Yes, Deborah.
My father, Russell Hopkins.
Russell Hawkins. Others? Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks this day that you don't mince your words to us, that you clearly call us to live out those things that we believe and not just to say them with our mouths, but to live them with our lives. Even when you entered the temple turning over tables, you also healed the blind and the lame. Your steadfast compassion for us and for all of creation fills us, O Lord, with concern for our world. We lift up to you, O Lord, the needs of our congregation, for all the situations and people that have been shared this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, you've placed a desire for truth and righteousness in the hearts of all people. Uplift those who seek to live faithfully and lovingly by the promptings of your Spirit, and even those who do not know your name. Save them from despair and lead them to the fullness of salvation. For seekers of truth, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, you've called the children of Israel to make known your righteousness, and you call disciples of Jesus to take the good news of your salvation to all the nations. Help those who know your name to be faithful to their calling, to live according to your commandments, and to testify to your abounding love. For all who believe in you, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, you formed your people into communities of prayer and service. Strengthen the leaders of your church, O Lord. Bishop Goodpastor, John Boggs, our district superintendent, and all of those, O Lord, who lead your communities here in this place and beyond. Give them humble and obedient hearts after the example of Christ, who humbled himself in obedience to you. For ministers of the gospel, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you've established the nations of the world to order human community. Kindle love for peace among the nations and their leaders. Save them from pride of wealth or power. Enable them to serve the common good. Lord, we especially lift up to you those areas of your world in turmoil. For the people in Syria and Turkey and Iraq, Afghanistan, for all of those areas, O Lord, torn apart by war, by violence, by bloodshed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear us, O Lord, in the groanings of our spirits, that we might lift our prayers to you even in silence. And as Christ, our Lord and teacher, taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. With grateful hearts, let us offer our gifts to God, trusting in his goodness and his righteousness. Let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. Accept the offering of our lives in union with Christ's offering for us, and make us humble and obedient servants who work for your good pleasure. Through Christ, with the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing as we sing together our closing hymn, number 438, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord.
Forth in Thy name, O Lord.
Now may the blessing of God be with you. May the love of Jesus fill you, and may the power of the Holy Spirit sustain you, now and forever. Amen.